This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There are fewer layoffs in recent weeks, more talk that the economy may be stabilizing, cautious expectation that the worst may be over and that the recovery may soon get underway. But so far, anyway, hardly anybody is hiring. Unemployment continues to rise. The prospects do not look good for the next 6 months to a year or more. 15 million Americans remain out of work. More and more have been jobless for many months now, exhausting unemployment benefits, taking jobs at low wages, being forced to leave their homes. If that's you, what's your plan? What are you going to do next? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, a TV commercial used to risk the charge of sellout. Does the concept even exist anymore? But first, long-term unemployment. And we begin with Annis Shin, who reports on business issues for The Washington Post and joins us from a studio at the newspaper. Nice to have you on the program today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Unemployment rate at 9.4% as of May. Many people are not aware of other numbers that reflect how long people remain unemployed.
Yes, that's right. We recently surpassed the previous record set in the recession of the early 80s for the portion of the unemployed that have been unemployed for roughly 6 months or more. And that was set pretty, it's actually set pretty late in that recession. So we've got a ways to go. So the chances are we're going to shoot past that number significantly.
And we're, although unemployment benefits have been extended considerably around the country, a big chunk of the stimulus package was to help states extend unemployment benefits and over 70 weeks in some places. Nevertheless, people are running out.
Yes, it's amazing to think that in some states where benefits have been extended to 79 weeks, which is basically a year and a half, that people would run out. But the recession officially started in December 2007. So, you know, it's totally conceivable that there are people now who are running out of the maximum benefits, especially in states like Michigan and Rhode Island, where the unemployment rate is now above 12%. So, yeah, it's a really disturbing trend, and unfortunately, it's going to be with us for a while.
And you've been reporting on how people are making decisions now that they've been long-term unemployed and facing some difficult choices.
Right. I mean, the thing about long-term unemployment is it's really the most – I don't want to say unemployment is, you know, ever good. It's always bad. But, you know, the longer it goes on, obviously people will deplete their savings. You know, their housing becomes much more at risk. You know, we already have got a foreclosure problem, and this will only contribute to it. You know, there's other sacrifices people make. They don't pay for medication or you know, other necessary things, and it just becomes more desperate for people. So it's really unfortunate.
You write about people in some of your articles in the paper who, you know, see the, you know, help wanted signs in Roy Rogers or McDonald's, and, you know, this is not what they'd gone to college to do, but they may have no choice.
Right. It's totally true, but even those jobs are hard to get. The most recent data shows that for every job opening, there's five unemployed people. And that's a record level. So it's getting tougher and tougher to find jobs, and that is also contributing to people being out of work longer. And yeah, they're going to try for those Roy Rogers jobs, but chances are they might not even get that job. We recently, actually, here in Washington, a hotel is opening in a few weeks, and there was a preview today. They had 300 jobs and 10,000 applications. And that's for an area, Washington, where the unemployment rate isn't even as bad as the national average.
So if you've been unemployed for months now, what's your plan? What are you going to do next? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Roy joins us on the line from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello.
Hi, Roy.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Yeah, my situation's pretty bad. About 10 years ago, I left college with 18 credits to go with a double major in electrical engineering and mathematics to pursue an airline career because I wanted to be a pilot my whole life. And last year in April, one of my airlines that I worked for went out of business. Then I got hired by another one and got laid off in August. So I've been unemployed since August, and I'm currently back in school. But as it stands right now, my unemployment's going to run out in the end of August.
So,
and I have one semester left, and then you know, I might have to get a job at Roy Rogers or McDonald's to work at that. And then once I graduate in December, who knows if I'm going to get an engineering job if I have to settle for that.
But at least you use the period of unemployment to finally finish off that degree.
Yes, and thank goodness that was available, because if that hadn't been available, I really don't know what I would have done. I'd be homeless. I'm currently carless and living in my sister's basement like the wedding singer, Adam Sandler. So I'm trying to do what I can, you know.
I'm sure your sister's thrilled, too.
Oh, she has two young kids, so I get to help them babysit and mow the lawn for them. That's how I pay rent.
Oh, boy.
So I'm doing what I can, but it is kind of worrisome at the end of August. I really don't know. There's been talk about a possible extension of 6 months employment, which would get me through to graduation. But once that, you know, if that happens, that would solve some problems. But still, there's the situation 6 months from now. So, you know, I just have to kind of take it as it goes. And I've got a lot of family support, which is very important. So,
Families. I think, Anna Shin, people are relying on families more than ever.
Excuse me, we
wanted the Washington Post reporter to respond to that, Roy, if you would.
Well, it's funny because when Roy talks about living with his sister, actually one of the impacts of the recession has been that household formation has really dropped. People are doubling up. People are holding off, you know, starting their own households. It's to basically cope with the recession. As unemployment goes up, that's probably going to keep happening. So you're in the vanguard, Roy.
I'm sure Roy thought maybe he'd had other options of being in different kinds of vanguards. Roy, good luck to you. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Let's introduce another guest now, and that is Andrew Stettner, who's in our bureau in New York. He's deputy director of the National Employment Law Project, where he researches issues related to unemployment. Andrew, good of you to be with us today.
Good afternoon.
And so people like the situation of Roy, our caller, when the benefits run out, how do unemployed people get by?
No, I think that's very common. People are moving out. We're seeing, even while they're getting unemployment benefits, upwards to one out of four people have already moved in with other families. So, you know, that's very common. And, you know, people are looking for that survival job. But it's much harder to find that job today than in the past.
The survival job, the Roy Rogers job that we were talking about.
Yes, that's right.
And dishwashers. And there are those kinds of jobs. Are they, as Anna Shin is suggesting, much more difficult to get than they used to be?
There's definitely a lot of competition, you know, for those jobs. A number of people who are working part-time but they want full-time jobs is at a record level. And so there's basically five job seekers for every job opening. So that gives you the sense of the odds that people are facing.
And when people – there seem to be different sorts of plateaus. A lot of people are struggling to make their mortgage payments. Once they realize they can't, what happens?
Well, I think, you know, people are – you know, many people are, you know, giving, you know, their house back to the bank. That's certainly happening. And you're seeing now that early on in the housing crisis – most of the foreclosures were actually by people that are working. And what you're seeing now show up is more foreclosures because people have lost their jobs. They just can't make their mortgage payment even if they had a fair mortgage. So, you know, that's definitely increasingly happening. And that's one of the biggest changes in now as compared to the last time unemployment was high in 2003, and we did have a lot of long-term unemployment. People were able to tap into housing wealth in a lot of creative ways. Certainly had many, many people who sold homes, took a profit, and, you know, even bought something as modest as a mobile home and kind of lived on the cash for quite some time. That's really hard to do. And we are seeing people, because of that, dip into whatever other savings they have at a much higher rate than they were in the past.
Let's get another caller in. This is Andrew. Andrew calling us from Charlotte.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Call.
Sure.
I was unemployed for about 4 months. I lost my job. I actually lost two jobs in a row because business was really slow. I tried to get on unemployment for a little while, but I was a newer resident of the state. The process was very difficult. But I found it actually worked to my advantage. Had it been easier, I probably wouldn't have tried to start my own business, which I did. And it's very bare bones. I do kind of completely at-home business, but I do marketing for businesses in the Charlotte area. I had to sell all of my luxury possessions that I bought, you know, when times were good. But we make our mortgage payments every month. And when I started hiring staff a few weeks ago, I put out an ad that was very, you know, the pay was listed as very low. It was listed as very hard work. And I got probably 30 responses from people that had been doing sales and marketing for 25 years.
So you had good choices available to you in terms of hiring. But I'll get back to your good fortune in just a minute, Andrew. When you sold off those luxury goods, was it a yard sale? Was it eBay? How'd you do it?
I did most of it through Craigslist and then kind of just begging my friends. I hate to say it, but, you know, times were very tough. You know, we depleted all of our savings. You know, I'd really just kind of scaled down. We kept our house, and, you know, that was the most important thing for me and my wife. And, you know, just all my friends that weren't quite in such a bad position, you know, they're getting a good deal on my flat-screen TV, so I was kind of helping them out. But, you know, some of it was just flat-out charity from my friends that could help, you know, and help for my family. But it was a very difficult process. You know, I was never raised to do anything like that. I was always assured by my parents and believed myself that if I just performed well at my job, that I'd never have to worry about, you know, doing anything like that. I'm 24 years old, and for the last 3 years, it's been getting, you know, very, very difficult for me and for a lot of people my age that I know. You know, you're kind of, there's an implicit guarantee that if you do work hard, if you do go to school, you'll be able to get a good job. And I think, you know, a lot of people have mentioned that, I think even during this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case anymore. I've never studied marketing in my life, but it was the only thing that I could start with my own home printer and $400.
Well, Andrew, good luck to your fledgling business.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime fan. Have a great day.
Well, Bye. Thanks for that, too. We're talking about long-term unemployment today. If that's you, what's your plan? What are you going to do next? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. More of your calls and emails in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. You lose your job, unemployment benefits run out, work is tough to find, but the bills keep coming. The number of people who qualify as long-term unemployed has tripled since the recession started. At a news conference earlier today, President Obama emphasized that he does not have a crystal ball to predict how bad unemployment is going to get. He does think it'll get over 10%. He also said it'll be a long time before jobs begin to return.
Even after employers and businesses start investing again and start hiring again, typically it takes a while for that employment number to catch up with economic recovery. And we're still not at actual recovery yet. So I anticipate that this is going to be a difficult year.
If you're among those long-term unemployed, if you're out of work for months now, what's your plan? What are you going to do next? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Our guests are Anis Shin, who's a reporter for The Washington Post. She covers business issues for the newspaper. Also with us, Andrew Stettner, deputy director of the National Employment Law Project. And I wanted to ask you, Anis Shin, there are some people whose plan, if they're late in their careers, discouraged, it's difficult enough to find work if you're like our last caller who's 24, but at 54, 58, 59, it's even more discouraging sometimes. And some people are opting for early retirement, taking payments that are considerably less than they might get if they could just stay in the workforce a little longer.
Well, yes, that is an option for some people. I mean, that age group is in a really difficult spot. They've seen their 401ks sort of decimated. You know, they've lost all this wealth because their housing values have gone down. And, yeah, they're at a point in their work lives where it is harder for them to get hired, or can be harder for them to get hired. I would also point out, though, that even before the recession, folks in that age group have really increased their participation in the labor force, and they're hanging on. And I think we all know why they're hanging on, because they realize now they're going to have to make up some of these gains. So it is tough for those folks. And, you know, there are, you know, the amount of discrimination, age discrimination lawsuits, I guess, or complaints that have been filed at the EEOC are up already. So you know, they're not sitting back and taking it, but it's very clear that economically, financially, that they, you know, they need to figure something out because all that nest egg is gone.
One promising thing that I think relates to that last caller is that a lot of unemployed people aren't kind of sitting idly by. I know in many states, actually, community colleges can't accept any more students because so many out-of-work people have applied for training. And I think that's actually a silver lining. You know, by getting retraining, the workforce is going to be more competitive and more productive than it was going into this recession. So I think, you know, and, you know, I think the stimulus bill and some other initiatives have given people the opportunities. I keep thinking today that although we have to do much more for people, you know, where would we be if we weren't giving the kind of package of assistance that we're giving to people so far?
Pat's on the line with us from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I'm originally from England, and I lost my job over there in 2001 when the telecoms industry failed. So having worked over here in the States for a while, my family and I moved over here and started a business which had just about got on its feet by the end of 2007, when, of course, in 2008 it started sliding downhill at a rate that was unsustainable, so we had to basically quit at the end of 2008. But as a self-employed person, we don't actually figure in the figures, and of course we don't get any benefits either. So, you know, that makes life incredibly difficult. And so having started searching for work in September last year, literally worldwide, including Saudi Arabia and various Middle Eastern countries, there was just no work for somebody of my age. I'm 59, with a degree in computer science and 30 years' experience in telecoms and IT industry. So, you know, it's a pretty desperate situation, but I've been doing bits and pieces working on ranches, feeding cattle and riding horses and doing other things I enjoy and getting paid a bit of pocket money for it.
But what's the plan down the road? That's not going to sustain you for long.
Well, it's very difficult to raise a plan, really. You know, previous recessions, you know, previous ups and downs, it's always been a case of being able to plan your way out of it in some way or another. But, you know, you kind of run out of ideas. And literally the only opportunity I had using the skills that I've got was around Christmas, when there was an opportunity to manage a fiber optic project out in Central Africa. And then that project disappeared because I guess the money became unavailable.
Yeah, banks are unable to loan, and well, that always has ripple effects. Pat, we wish you the best of luck, and I hope you continue to enjoy your work on the ranches.
Well, forever the optimist. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Pat, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's an email from Max. I'm a carpenter in the San Francisco Bay Area. Last summer I was doing small additions and large decks, working for myself. Lately I've been scraping by. If things don't pick up, I plan to go stand on a day laborer pickup corner. I feel badly because I'll be poaching work from poorer, less skilled workers, and because, unlike many of them, I have no family to feed. But I have bills to pay, and I have to eat. And Andrew Stettner, as you're getting down to that level, we're not talking about survival-level jobs. I mean, that's a bit below that, isn't it?
Well, and I think it gives, you know, employers all kinds of leverage if they want to be unscrupulous and take advantage of people because people are kind of so desperate. And I think you're also that, you know, that last caller, very familiar. I don't know what to do. I've always known what to do before. Mm-hmm. I've been out of work before. I've looked for work before. I've worked since I was 15, and I'm 55 years old. And I don't know what to do. I've been doing everything I can to search for work. And so we don't know where this economy is going. And it's going to be harder for a lot of people. Some jobs will come back as demand comes back, and there'll be firms that need people. And I think many firms have cut to the bone. But for a lot of people, they're going to have to be more creative and and thinking about, you know, how they're going to get by.
And Anna Shin, just to follow up on that point, some of these people went out on a limb, got the education, followed the American dream, started their own business. Well, the American dream is starting, maybe succeeding with their second or third business. But nevertheless, it's really discouraging. And they don't have, as that caller mentioned, the resources to fall back on unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I think, well, as an economics reporter, I thought it was interesting what he was saying about the sort of the link between the fact that banks are not lending to job creation. And that's definitely going to be something that holds back job creation, you know, once this recession is officially over. As long as we have this tightness in the credit markets, entrepreneurs like himself are going to have a hard time expanding. If businesses can't expand, they can't hire people. So, that's a major part of the problem this time that also makes it different from previous recessions.
Here's an email from Dylan in Charlotte. I was laid off from my job at a hedge fund soon before the stock market melted down last year. I have had two interviews in the past 10 months, neither of which resulted in a job. Most interestingly, the term hedge fund, regardless of success or strategy, has become a non sequitur in the job search. I recently removed it from my resume. Let's talk with Kevin. Kevin with us from Cedar Rapids in Wisconsin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Well, good. I was saying earlier, talking to the screener, just the fact that I'm literally on my way from Green Bay, Wisconsin, my hometown, back to the Cedar Rapids area to have a job, part-time job interview. I'm a teacher, and it's somewhat of a teaching job, but I'm starting to recognize, talking earlier with, the McDonald's thing is that, along with this part-time job, I'm going to have to really consider, doing anything. I'd love to to be able to be a rancher like the last gentleman.
Sure.
But I'm just, I'm recognizing that this isn't going exactly the way that I want it to go. While optimistic and somewhat excited a little bit about the fact that, I'm sort of living on the edge, it's really a pretty scary, situation, especially with my unemployment itself just about ready to run out.
Yeah, living on the edge, excited. Those are not terms you often hear in the long-term job search.
I agree, and it's, if it does end up, where I'm not successful, and I have to, take some other, I don't think that I'm completely out of ideas, but, as I said, it's really approaching the scary mark. And I don't believe that I have ever been in this dire of a situation before. So, like I said, as I, I left yesterday to come back to Iowa where I, want to settle, but even living in Green Bay, I've had to spend some time with my, with my mother,
mm-hmm.
which if you haven't lived with a parent for a while can really be pretty exciting in itself as well.
I bet that's a revelation.
Yes.
And you're on your way to an interview now?
Yeah, well, it's actually tomorrow, so, I've given myself a day to get prepared, but I'm just, I think looking at the situation going, I'm putting a lot of effort into a part-time position, whereas maybe before I may have thought, gosh, that's a lot of distance to travel just to, obtain part-time employment.
Yeah.
But as I said, as an educator, I really want to be involved in, working with children. And because of that, I feel excited at the fact that it's a job position that would be working with children, but I also understand it's a part-time position and that I'm probably going to have to get something in, some of my backup positions, which actually was in radio at one point, if you believe it or not.
I don't know. Don't go into radio. We've got all the competition we can stand.
Yeah.
Kevin, good luck, even if you have to go into radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Radio business doesn't hire as much as they used to. A lot of the programming is syndicated and comes out of places like Dallas and various other places. So the overnight shift and weekends are not so available as they used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago. Here's an email from Ann that puts another spin on that survival-level job that we've been talking about so far. My son is 40. And he is one who will never be able to get a job in this economy. His intellectual ability is limited. He graduated from a special education high school program in New Jersey and has worked on and off at Wendy's and other temporary work. His job is being taken by others with the skill and education to do much more. He and his wife will soon be homeless as they cannot earn enough to pay their subsidized low-income rent. They also do not have the skill or persistence needed to work through the special services departments that might be able to offer them help. We're talking about long-term unemployment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Andrew Stettner, that email we just read from Ann, well, that's a sobering thought. Those jobs that are competitive, those low-level, low-paying jobs, well, there were people who did them before.
Well, and I think, right, so they are definitely getting squeezed, and that's both making them harder to be survival jobs because places are often already filled, and it's squeezing, you know, the entry level out. You know, this is a dimension of this is what happens to this generation of people who are trying to make their way up during this economy and thought they'd have a good chance with baby boomers retiring, et cetera, and the real blockages, you know, that they're facing. And you have to think about, you know, one thing is just, you know, this stuff has always been around. But the scope of it is when you step back and think that there is already more than 2.5 million Americans on these extensions of benefits, many of them, probably a million of them, to run out by, you know, around Labor Day. So it's really just the scope of this. People that, you know, many of us heard on the show are very entrepreneurial and trying to find work in a lot of creative ways and can't find it. So it's both the, you know, I mean, just everyone's story and the panoply of emotions that I think most of us can identify with and know what it's think about what it would be like to lose a job and how hard it would be. And it's so many people now in every corner of the country.
Yeah, the president was talking today about the how resilient the American people are and how much optimism there is that is not justified by the facts. And I think we're hearing some of that today. Let's see if we get another caller in. This is Roger. Roger with us from Tucson.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead, Roger.
Well, like the earlier gentleman, I too was self-employed. I was a real estate agent, so I didn't get any unemployment benefits when the when the real estate market tanked, and I really didn't have a job anymore either. I guess I'm luckier than most because I do have VA benefits, so I went ahead and went back to school. I'm still having to make ends meet because, you know, I've got kids and all of those things. So I've got a friend who owns a restaurant. You know, she's struggling as well, but she gave me a part-time job washing dishes And between student loans and the GI Bill and washing dishes, you know, I'm eking by. When it's all said and done, I'll have a college degree finally, and
a great story to tell your grandchildren.
Exactly. So you know, it's a struggle, but you know, I'm taking this opportunity to go back to school, and that really is the best thing for me right now, I think.
And Anna Shin, that's the advice you hear a lot. If you're out of work and have the opportunity to get more training to get a new job in the new economy, whatever that may be and whenever that may arrive, take it.
Right. I mean, a lot of the callers today have been folks who have a high degree of education and are very disappointed. But, you know, it's still good to get that training. It's still good to get that college degree. If you just look at the numbers, folks with college degrees have been more protected than, you know, folks who don't have a college degree or don't have a high school degree. I mean, the recession's definitely hurt folks with college degrees, but not to the same extent. So it is important to get that training and to go back to school if you have the opportunity to.
Roger, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. We'll end with this email from Sandra in Fresno. I lost my job about 10 months ago and have decided together with my husband that I will not look for work. Staying home has put a pinch on our budget, but honestly, our quality of life has taken a huge leap forward. We're relaxed, eating healthy, home-cooked meals. I have a large garden and spend lots of times with friends. My husband is greeted each evening with a happy wife, and he loves it. So some people have options not available to others. We thank our guests, Andrew Stettner, Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project, who is with us from our bureau in New York. Thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
And Anis Shin, a reporter at the Washington Post, joined us from the studios at that newspaper. And thank you for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the Black Eyed Peas shill for Target. Is it time to retire the concept of selling out? Who would you be still shocked to hear is doing a commercial for television? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.